Luke chapter 24, verse 13 in the New King James Version. Are you ready for the word this morning?
Yes.
Tell your neighbors, I'm glad I get to sit next to you.
Yes.
Tell them, I'm glad I get to sit next to you. Jesus be glorified. Now, if you could put it on the screen for me, because I don't have it written out up here and I don't want to turn to it. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. They're walking, they're talking about the last couple of days where Jesus was crucified and he was buried and all this stuff. And then they went to the tomb and he wasn't there. And they're talking about this. And Jesus himself walks up on them. They're talking about Jesus and Jesus walks up on them. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Come on, next verse. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. They did not know who he was. They were talking about Jesus, with Jesus, but didn't know who Jesus was. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? And then the one whose name was Cleophas or Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? Like where you been, man? Like, you don't know what's been going on here? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. Come on. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. It's been 3 days since this happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early, they astonished us, when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. So there's a lot going on in these 3 days, and they're talking about it, and Jesus walks up on them. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. They didn't see him. We didn't see him there. Come on. And then he said unto them, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Jesus now takes them back. Come on. Ought not Christ, the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?
Amen.
And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Jesus is now making the scripture plain to them about himself, and they still don't know who he is. He went back to the prophets. See, look. And they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. Y'all go ahead. I'm going to keep on going here, he said. But they constrained him and said, no, you come with us. For it's the evening now, and the day has been far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now, it came to pass as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Look at here. Then their eyes were open. And they knew him. Somebody said knew him. And he vanished from their sight because they already knew him, but they couldn't see him. We'll talk about it. But now they knew him. Look. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us? Didn't our hearts burn? While he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us. And I asked you last week, when I begin to talk about this, when was the last time? Help me with this. Ask your neighbor, say,
when was the last time?
Y'all going to learn how to follow instructions in church. Look at your neighbor and ask your neighbor, say,
when was the last time?
We burned for Jesus. And this burning is passion. It is an excitement. It is a pursuit of him. It is a surrendered life. It is being on fire. Somebody said on fire. And I'm not sharing this because the church is in trouble. Let me help you with this. The Lord's church is not in trouble. Never will be. Never will be. Never will be. Jesus is not taken off guard by things that are happening. So his church is not in trouble. Now, the thing we have made and called church is. Man's church is in trouble. The Lord's church, I need you to understand this and write this down, is strong, is focused, and it's on course to fulfill his mission in the earth. That's what the Lord's church is. Never let nobody tell you no different. You watching Facebook and the news and the church in trouble and people this and people that. No. The Lord's church is purposed. It is focused. It is strong. And it's on course to fulfill his mandate in the earth. And you ought to say amen to that. So don't be fooled by anything else. I know there's a lot of things going on in what we call church. People are people. People are human. People are falling. Things are happening. People are leaving the church. They are backsliding. All that's going to happen until Jesus comes back. But his church, he said, Peter, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. His bride is okay with the bride of Christ, and we're okay. Because who do you know don't take care of their bride in terms of Jesus? Trey never said the church is okay. I can't help but think of the days of old where we didn't even have to have these kinds of messages often, because there was something instilled in the saints of old that I don't sometimes see in the new saint. Come on, stay with me. Tell your neighbor, says, stay with him. I'm going to have you talk to your neighbor all day, so get used to it. I don't like them kind of churches. Just chill out. It's a family. We get to talk here, laugh, and jump together and shout together. We share our gum and our mints. Get used to the person you're sitting with. Ask them their name. If you need something from them, ask them if you got some mints or something, a piece of gum. Go ahead. You sit with your family. Yeah. If you ain't got no Bible, read off of there. Share their Bible. So, girl, move your arm. Let me see this thing here. The saints of old had this thing called a zeal for God. And they didn't have all the revelation that we have now, but they understood the heart of God. They understood they needed God. There is something about this new generation that thinks they don't always need God, but I need him every day. Oh, I need him every hour. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, come on, where would I be? Don't you ever get so deep and so caught up in your readings, in your prophetic living, that you think you don't need God, or you think you are where you are by yourself. Come on here. He is the air that I breathe. He's the reason I ain't lost my mind now. Because life has a way of making your mind trip. Anybody ever thought they was going nuts or something, or going crazy or losing their mind, or bombarded with thoughts, tormented in their thinking? If it had not been for the Lord, come on here. He covered you when you didn't want to be covered. He's forever making intercession for us, which means he prayed for me. When I didn't know he was praying, he prayed for me that my faith fail not. Let me calm down. The thing about talking about the days of old is this. Sometimes we forget that the latter is going to be or shall be greater. Our testimonies of the old is not all we have. We don't rest there. We don't stop there and talk about the forefathers and those that went on to be with the Lord and their mantles and how we really prayed long back in the day and we fasted hard. The latter shall be greater. I believe, Pastor Kelly, we are on course for a fresh move of God like we've never seen before. I am not talking about your usual revival and three-day service and the gathering in the building and the flyer and promotion. I'm talking about in the hearts of people. God's going to set your living room on fire. While you cooking dinner, you're going to be overcome with the Holy Ghost. Come on here. Because we have made everything accustomed to coming to this building, and I thank God for the gathering. You should come to the gathering. Yes. Are you listening to me? But I believe that the winds of warning are blowing. And God is asking us the question, when was the last time you burned for me? What happened? What happened? Now, this is a universal message, meaning it's not just for Lifeline or for the Baptist or the Kojic or the white or the black. Because everybody will tell you, we in this place because the Baptists don't speak in tongue. Or we in this place because the Kojic speak in tongue too much. Or we in this place because, and we all ought to stop it, because we're in this place because we've left the heart of God. Amen. What happened? I'm going to give you some things that have happened that I believe. Turn with me to Matthew 28. Are y'all still here?
Yes.
Now, I'm glad I didn't go into this last week, because I want to teach this to you and not just get you riled up. I need you to hear me. This will define the next journey in your personal life and the life of this local church. What happened? Number one, we've abandoned the mission. Write that down. We've abandoned the mission. Jesus left his church with a mission. An assignment, and we don't get to abandon the mission. Jesus spoke of the mission more than he spoke of himself. He didn't just go back to heaven and leave us out here to have church. He left us with an assignment, with a mission. And most people in the local church don't know what it is. And if they do, they've not tapped into it. Because you think it's about you coming down here and getting too fast, too slow, a sermon, give when you want and going on back home. And maybe, you know, operating some of the special events the church have. But what is your part in the mission? Amen. See, I'm losing amens already. We can't abandon the mission. When we forsake the mission, I wrote this down, we lose our purpose, our identity, and we get bored and try and create things so we can feel fulfilled in this life in Christ. Too many believers are bored. How are you bored? How are you bored? Because you have not tapped into the mission. If Jesus left us with an assignment, it's like your kids. You say, hey, that last step is kind of high. You saw me come down kind of like... Y'all weren't going to say nothing though, right? It's like you're leaving your kids with an assignment to do. I'm going to go to the store. Or I'm going to go to work. While I'm gone, I need you to wash the dishes. I need you to take out the garbage. I need you to clean this bathroom down here and clean your room. And then you come back and they ain't done nothing, but they say, I've been bored. How are you bored when I gave you something to do? Even if you didn't like it, I still gave you an assignment to keep you busy. And when you get bored, you lose identity, because your identity is locked in the mission. When you get bored, you try to create things to fulfill your life in Christ. And the thing about it is, we have lost this zeal, this fire, this passion. It's because we have forsaken, we have abandoned the mission. Now, this ain't no shouting message. Go to Matthew 28. Go to Matthew 28. I had to come down here so I can look in y'all face. Look at verse 16 in the Amplified Bible. Why do we use the Amplified? Because it amplifies it. Now the 11, verse 16, disciples went to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Some doubted. Too many doubters. I ain't talking about unsaved. I'm talking about people that saved and love God, but you doubting. Look. And Jesus came up and said to them, all authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore. Go therefore and do what? Y'all can see it, can't you? Go and do what? Now, I'm going to read a whole lot of scripture today, because I don't want you to think I'm giving you something from me. I'm just going to read you the scripture. Do with it what you want to do with it. Because you got, this is my Bible. I am what my Bible says that I am. And I do what my Bible said for me to do. And I live my Bible. I'm just going to read you the Bible these. We have abandoned the mission. What's the mission? Go therefore and make disciples of all people groups. Help people to learn of me, believe in me and obey my words, and then baptize them. Look, go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 20. Teach them to do what I've taught, to follow my commandments. And then he didn't leave us. He says, and I'm going to be with you while you do it. We've abandoned the mission. Most people that come to a local church, they're selfish.
Yes.
It's what I can get, but you can get to me. The preacher preach good. The singer sing good. Y'all giving out turkeys at Thanksgiving. This my church. I love my church. But what about the mission that he's called us to fulfill?
That's
right. Y'all won't even say amen.
Amen.
Our men have left the mission.
Yeah.
Men are more active in church, not outside of church. We deaconing, we ministering, we armor bearing, we security, and that's great. But that's only one day a week.
Amen.
The world needs us in the mission.
Yes.
There are kids that need to be mentored, young men.
Yes.
There are people that are hungry. There are blocks that need to be cleaned. This is the mission. See, I'm losing the amens now. But if I had a prophetic class for men, you'd all come. To teach you how to be deep in church, you come to that. But let's meet and let's get all the young men that don't have fathers and let's create a program for them. And with our busy sales, we take time and take them to the games and teach them how to get jobs and teach them how to fill out applications and make sure they got shoes in the winter. And go, how about we do that? So we've abandoned the mission. I got three cops over here, one up there, and two over here. Because we want to preach. You want to preach? You can have this. I didn't ask for this. You can have this. You can have this mic, and you can have this Bible. You can preach every Sunday. I bet you quit in about 3 weeks. No, I'm not trying to be funny. This more than you think it is. You see me come out the back and got a little armor bearer, and they carry the Bible, and they help me with my tile. That's one day a week. You do know when I go home, Kay, these guys ain't with me. I get in out of my own car, carry my own bag. They serving it for them, not for me. Ain't nothing glamorous about this. Ain't nothing glamorous about me having to preach every week and then deal with you. Sometimes you listen, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you love me, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you leave, sometimes you come.
That's it.
Yeah. Ain't nothing glamorous. You can have this. The mission is found, part of it, in Matthew 28.
Yes.
Who are you discipling?
Yeah.
Every man should have a young man under their care.
Yeah.
Miss me with the in-church stuff. It's one day a week. You come here one day a week. Because
yep.
Some of y'all think we tear the church down and then build it back up on Sunday because you never come during the week. So you come one day a week. And that's great. I want you to come and get what I'm saying and then go out there and do the mission. You said, what happened with the whole burning for Jesus? We've abandoned the mission. When was the last time you got somebody saved? See, Pastor Kelly, this is not the message they want to hear. That's the mission. You do know dark is getting darker. Right? And we're in this singing, we are the light of the world, like a city set on a hill. We the light. We the light. We got Jesus in us. We the light. What you going to do with that light? Every person. And the mission is not just, yesterday we spent the whole afternoon sitting in a 4x4 room with a young man. Just sitting there watching him eat a hamburger, talking to him, telling him he worth this and that. Just giving back. Following the mission. Making disciples. Ain't no podium in there. Wasn't no mic in there. Wasn't no armor bearer in there. It smelled like weed in there. It stank in there. The carpet was dirty. But I sat there. And I told him I'll be every week. I'm going to be with you till the wheels fall off. I ain't going nowhere. And you're worth it. And you're better than what you've done. And I sat there with him. Want something to eat? Yeah, let's go get something to eat. I took him to get something to eat. Came back. Sat with him some more. I don't get none out of that. We've abandoned the mission. We've traded our personal mission for passing out flyers. Nobody wants your flyer. They want your life. They want to see the results of you coming down here to this church. Then they'll come with you. Y'all quiet. Y'all quiet. We must be mission minded. We must brand, write that down. We must brand the mission, not the person. And when you value the mission, doesn't matter who gets the credit. Doesn't matter whose name on it, who leading the group. It don't matter. We going to feed the homeless. I don't care if the group is called Stacy Florida Homeless Feeders. It don't matter. I'm going to feed the homeless. Y'all ain't doing me right. They're not doing me right, London. They're not doing me right. When you understand the mission, write this down. The mission produces the remnant. And the remnant is not selective, it's responsive. What does that mean? That means I don't select you to be a part of the remnant. What happens with the remnant is this: we release the call, we release the vision, we release the mission. And those who respond to it are part of the remnant. He said in Psalms, gather my saints unto me, but not everybody. Those who respond to me by sacrifice. And the mission requires sacrifice. I know you work. I know you got three kids too. You got to go to the laundromat. You got to pick up the girls. We all got life. We all got life. But where is the sacrifice? Because when you walk close with God, you don't get to make so many excuses. They don't like this message, Pastor Sister Audrey. They don't like this one. See. The closer you walk with God, you don't get to make excuses. You get to make adjustments.
Wow.
You get to sacrifice. I got to go to work, but I got to go to prayer first, and I'm gonna tell them because they give me the option to come in later early. I'm gonna come in late today because I got to go to prayer. You know, I'm going to go and work my hours. I'm going to make adjustments. I'm going to be in place.
Yes, Lord.
Submission. Number two, I'm going to go on. I'm going to leave it alone because y'all looking at me like, you know, I'm new to town. And so the first one was what? What was the first one?
We've abandoned the mission.
The second one is carnal conformity. What happened? What happened? I'm going to tell you what happened. Carnal conformity. Romans chapter 12. Conformity. C-O-N-F-O-R-M-I-T-Y. Yeah.
Correct.
I'm on USC, Mickey. Okay. Romans 12. Look at Romans 12. Look at verse 1 in the New King James Version. I sent my notes to the upper room, but I sent them this morning at 6 o'clock, so they probably didn't get them. So y'all just write them down. I be doing stuff like that. So we need more of y'all working in these ministries too.
Amen.
I'm good to work with.
Amen.
I just why y'all laugh? Why y'all laugh? I just require excellence.
Amen.
And you should too.
Amen.
And some of y'all, I ain't gonna serve because I don't know about that password. You need to serve so I can help pull you up.
Amen.
Yeah. You've been where you are too long. You need somebody to stretch you. Don't be afraid. Let me stretch you. Some of y'all sitting in one service. I don't know. He ain't going to be yelling at me. And when the last time you heard me yell at somebody in service? Romans chapter 12. Y'all can laugh, but I ain't getting nobody in no service. I may talk to you strong. No, but Harrell, I think we need that. No, I've learned if you don't deal with our people a certain way, they'll run over you. And they'll change the whole plan of your vision. No, that ain't gonna happen here. We on course to fulfill God's heart. Say my heart. I told you I didn't ask for this. I wanted to be a singer. No, I did. I'm telling you the truth. I can't, y'all, see, I say that often. Y'all be like, he's just saying that. No, who wants to be a pastor? The doc, they said doctors have the highest stress level of humans. Yeah. Next is pastors. Because we're dealing with people. People that are smiling at you one Sunday and leave the church Sunday afternoon and talk about you on social media. We got to deal with that. We got to deal with folk disappearing. We got to deal with people not giving. We got to deal with people we didn't help, then they turn on you. We got to deal with all that. All of it, day in, day out. We don't get to turn off. Okay. Thank you for that, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Carnal conformity, verse 1, chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. What does beseech mean?
Encourage
and urge. I urge you. I encourage you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to the world. Don't follow the world. Don't imitate the world. Don't take your marching orders from the world. Well, I don't understand. I thought we supposed to fit in. I thought we supposed to look like them so we can get them saved. I'm not telling you that we got to wear robes. We all y'all look nice. You got your jeans on, your nice gear. That's all cool. I'm talking about the mindset. Because if we're believers, we get our marching orders from the word, not from the world. The world says it's okay to live together before you're married. That's not in scripture. I just lost half the people here. The world says, once I marry London, this is the only booty I can have. See, Carlotta, they want to play. I didn't come here to play.
Don't play.
I didn't come here to play. And listen, this is not a message for perfect people, but we should be striving to be like this. According to scripture, and we don't anymore because nobody talks about it because we've all went the world's way. Yeah. I challenge every person in here that's living with somebody you're not married to. I'll marry you next week if you want to. You don't need no $5,000 reception and no $5,000 gown. Put you a dress on from the roast and come up here and get married. You've been living with him for 20 years. What you waiting on? We gonna plan the wedding. No, you ain't. No, you ain't. That's an excuse. There is a blessing that comes on your house when you do it right. I'll give you a counseling session and I'll marry you next week. That's too soon. What, next month? I'll marry you for Christmas. Because we can't keep coming in here. None of us, whatever your thing is. You ain't shacking, but it's adultery. You ain't adultery, but you're lying. You ain't lying, but you're cheating. Whatever your thing is, we got to stop conforming to the world.
That's right. Amen.
Whether you drinking and getting drunk, but the Bible don't say, miss me with that. You can't think it's okay to get drunk every weekend. And I ain't finna quote no scripture with you to prove that to you. Show me in the Bible where it said I can't have me no drink. I ain't gonna show you nothing. You wanna have a drink, go ahead and drink. But you know you ain't supposed to be drinking, that's why you hiding it. What you hiding it for? Go ahead and drink your drink. As a matter of fact, bring your drink in here. People bring their coffee in here. Bring your cognac in here. Why? No, no, no. Why don't you bring your drink in here? Marshawn, you turn this mic up so they can hear what I'm saying. No, don't respect the building and not your own body. We come to church. We come to church, Kay, and the guy outside smoking a cigarette. It's cold outside. Hey, man, come on in. Smoke it in here. It's too cold. I ain't coming to smoke on a cigarette now. Why not? That's the church building. But your body is the temple. So you won't smoke in here, but you'll smoke in here. The building can't catch cancer. Carnal, let me tell you this. We all, starting with me, we all have been guilty of being carnal. Because you know what we said? The way they used to have church and all that stuff is old. That's the old way. We do things new around here. We understand it don't take all of that. And as soon as we said it don't take all of that, look what started happening. The power left. People started going crazy. Ain't no good men in the church anyway. Well, how you keep getting pregnant then? Some good. Okay, look at Romans 12. Look at it in the Message Bible. I ain't gonna say it again. Y'all heard me the first time. Romans 12, verse 1, Message. Come on, I got a few minutes left. Come on. So here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. Look at the scripture. Romans 12, verse 1, Message. Here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. Sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around. Look. And place it before God. You can turn it down. Now it's ringing. Place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Because we just do whatever everybody else does. You know, everything that I was taught was wrong is no longer wrong. Everything they taught me in church coming up was wrong. It's not wrong no more. You can drink, you can smoke, you can cuss, you can have sex, you can do whatever you want to do. And I'm thinking that can't be right. And we've all bought into it to some degree. And so I'm teaching this message. God dealt with me about this. Carnal conformity. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Be changed from what?
Inside.
Not the outside. Nobody care how you look outside. It's the inside. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-informed maturity in you. That's so good. Say that's so good.
That's so good.
Do not conform. I told you earlier, that's in Romans chapter 7, verse 22, that our spirits joyfully concurs with the law of God. It wants to do right. Number three, I got to keep going. Number three is, now this clock ain't moving. Now, I keep talking. It's stuck. It says 44:59. So y'all set it back? Now it's on 50. Now y'all tripping. Now y'all. Dude, they went from 45 minutes to 15 minutes. Now I'm going to talk 45. Okay, so number three. Continuity. What happened? Continuity. Go to 2 Timothy 1. We must remain continuity. C-O-N-T-I-N-U-I-T-Y. Continuity. We must remain consistent. Listen, in the foundation laid for us and in us. If we do not remain consistent in what was laid in us and for us, we'll forever be praying for revival. And the apostles, you will not find in scripture, Elder Floyd, where the apostles ever prayed for revival. Y'all quiet up in here now.
Yes.
Why didn't the apostles pray for revival? Because revival was normal Christianity for them. They just continued. I'm going to show it to you in a second. They simply continued. And there came a generation that did not know the Lord, which means somebody didn't continue. Now we got to pray for revival for the next generation. Lord, pour on them. Lord, fill them again. Lord, do this because somebody didn't continue. Look at 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy, verse 1 or chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. I remember you're sincere. It's cold. It was hot early, now it's cold. And I can't take this sheen jacket off because this is a shirt that gotta have a jacket on with you. Can't wear the damn jacket. No. That's a lesson too.
Yes, it is.
Some of y'all make $2 an hour and you wearing Louis Vuitton. I can wear Louis Vuitton. I choose to wear some sheen jackets. You can get you about 8 jackets for $3.
You can.
They're going to come in a Ziploc bag. Come on here.
That you can reuse.
That you can reuse. I remember, look. Get serious. I remember your sincere and unqualified faith, the surrendering of your entire self to God in Christ, with confident trust in his power, wisdom, and goodness, and faith which first lived in the heart of your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am confident that it is in you as somebody's been continuing. He said the same grace that was on your grandmother was also on your mother. And now it's on you. Yeah. Ain't no need to pray for revival because we all continued. Are y'all getting what I'm telling you? It is too much praying for revival. Light us again. Spark us again. Set us ablaze again. Do it again. Fill us again. Fall on us fresh, Lord. Why did we stop continuing?
Come on, well.
Go to Acts chapter 2. Are you here, Delvin? Did y'all turn the L off? Okay. Now it's going to get hot. Watch. Now it's going to get hot. Because we don't know how to get in the middle. We either hail or frozen. Hail or frozen. Ain't no middle. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Look. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Look. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of what?
Fire.
And did what? Set on each of them. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This was the initial revival. Now drop down to verse 42. Look at what they did after the initial outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the initial fire, the initial igniting. And they
continued.
And they. This is why you never see them again asking for revival. You will not find it in scripture that they prayed for revival. We just read in verse 1 through 4, the Spirit of God rested upon them like as a fire. They spoke in tongues, they experienced the Holy Ghost, the refreshing, and then they continued. Now you'll be like the Berean church. And go search out what I'm saying when you get home. Don't take my word. Go search it out.
That's right.
If you find where they pray for revival, come and tell me. I'll come and say, I messed up last week. They did pray for revival down there in Ezekiel chapter 99. But I looked and I didn't find it. And I had her look. I said, help me look and see if you can find what the apostles prayed for revival. And she found why they didn't pray for revival. Because they continue steadfastly in what? The apostles' doctrine. Not the new Facebook stuff. Not the new win on social media. They continued in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayer. When was the last time we burned for God? Because we don't have continuity. We keep stopping. What's new in this season? This the new apostle. This the new voice. This the new wind. This the new church. Everybody gonna go here. Then that gonna work. Now we all gonna go here. They continued. I don't think it was ever God's intent that we keep flopping churches. Now, God will shift you in seasons when you have to be for certain reasons. But it was never God's intent that we have 18 communities in our lifespan. It was meant for you to come to a church and grow together in that church through everything. Yeah. If I don't like LaWanda, we're gonna work it out. Because I ain't going nowhere and she ain't either. Because you don't get to get offended if you're continuing. Okay, look at verse 43. Y'all quiet. Why y'all so quiet? Okay. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Verse 44. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. That's a whole nother lesson. Which means one person don't struggle and we all got something. We all come to the aid of the other person. I mean, all the kids, rent, car note, food, baby needs shoes. Look, got a light bill too, even got a gas bill too, telephone disconnect, but on your next paycheck, we all come to each other. That's why we have what's called reach in. Yeah. And we do reach in. We take care of our local community. And some of y'all pull from that pot, but don't put nothing in it. Tell your neighbor, that's another message. And sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. I know a church, everybody had extra cars. They sold them extra cars, went and got better cars and gave them to the people in the church. Who don't have a car, stand up and they start giving out cars. So everybody had everything in common. How I'm driving past you on the bus stop every week. At some point, we got to get you a car. Well, she ought to listen to the message. She ought to get the message and work the word. You didn't. You didn't. You didn't always work the word. But you were blessed. How do we judge people for stuff we don't do ourselves? Come on, y'all. Like, really? People qualify for the goodness of God, even in a bad state. Because he reigns on the just and the... You don't get a pass just because I love the Lord. Listen, and stop treating your cousin them like that. Like they damned because they ain't came to church yet. Because just because you in church don't mean church in you. And the reason they won't come, because when you with them, you come down here for prayer and Bible study and prophetic class, and you with them, you smoke weed with them, and you cuss with them, and you naked with them, and you're on Facebook drinking with them, and they're like, what's the difference? Why would I go to your church with you? People are hurting so bad, we don't even understand. We too busy trying to be relevant, and people are hurting. They sick of their lives. They don't want it no more, Bridget. They're sick. They're tired. They have no more answers, no more solutions. They've tried everything. They've changed churches. They got a new bishop. They got a new job. They did all, and things still not adding up. It's kind of like old boys Jerry curl. It just don't quite curl. That Luther, big Luther, it didn't quite curl. And he did everything. It It didn't curl here or now. Come on, is it? Y'all didn't get that. You didn't get that. They didn't get that. I say his curl didn't curl here or now. They still didn't get it. They, here and now. Here and now. Don't waste a good joke now. You got it, didn't you? You got it. I'm going to stay on this side. Because y'all with me over here. I said his curl didn't curl here or now. Look, keep reading, I gotta go. Come on, keep reading. The scissor closed at what, 4? The scissor. Listen, back in the day, we had to get out of that church because I had to go to Ponderosa at Riverside.
That's right.
You have to go at the right time where you can jump the line and steal them chicken wings. Right out the church. Go and steal them. Because, you know, you get in line, you pay for 2, but 8 came in and got the buffet. You know y'all did it, too. And I did it every week till I saw that roach on the buffet. I said, oh, it's okay. Man. Okay, y'all get back in. Y'all, I done lost this whole set. They're like, what's going on? She tickled here, boy. I'm taking you on the road with me, honey. And they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Verse 46. So continuing daily, they continued with one accord in the temple. They came to church. Because I can watch online. Thank God for online. But I can't hug you online. That you can get more here. And I can understand if we came here 7 days a week. Say, Pastor, I'm tired. We come one day a week, and then on Wednesday, if you don't get down here to the building, you go everywhere else. I don't know. It's too many people. They sitting too close up in there. Are you kidding me? And you ride the green line to work? If you ain't caught on the green line, you can come in here and sit down. But that thing is nasty. I rode that green line for years, Jack, and I said, never again. And I got on at the end at Harlem and Lake. High's already, it ain't even left you. High's already nasty. And by the time I got to Oak Park Avenue, somebody was on there gambling, somebody was preaching, somebody was having sex in the back. I'm like, never again. This is too much. On the train, I'm just trying to get to work. Come on up, Chris, I'm almost done. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Now the house to house eating food, we do that well. We continue in that. You go to somebody's house and hang out, hang on the knee, hang on no food, ain't order nothing. We know how to do that. But how about going house to house and pray?
Yes.
Ain't no snack, ain't no dip. Ain't no beer, we just gonna pray. Yeah, throw that in there because some of y'all be, you know. If I find out you have a small group here and y'all drinking in the small group, no, I'm not, you can't leave that small group no more. You gotta be careful with that because there are people who have come from backgrounds of struggling with alcohol and they join our church and wanna get in a small group and get to your house. And you mixing drinks? Tell me, yo, I don't believe that. Well, that ain't the doctrine of this church. And you can believe what you want to believe, but you can't lead like that and influence other people. Now, you want to drink to your heart is Mary. But I know people that I have dealt with who have lost their entire life almost because of alcohol. So we don't fool with it. They've lost their wife and their cars, everything. They trying to get their license back, all kind of trouble and chaos in their life because of drinking.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Miss me with the, I can drink what I want to drink. Fine, in your house.
That's right.
Don't influence people in our church to drink.
That's right.
Thank you for that one clap.
That's right.
Listen, all you drinkers, don't get nervous in the service. I'm just telling you what we don't do that. And what happens, Carlotta, if you did do certain things, nobody knew you did them.
That's right.
Come on. Why we got to air everything? We got to post everything. Because you want somebody to say something so you can try to tell them off. It ain't worth it. Ain't that what she told Celie? Who said that? Sophia, it ain't worth it. Well, after a long day, I just need to get stuff off my chest, just kind of relax. You need the Holy Ghost. You need peace. You don't need cognac. You don't need Hennessy. Y'all quiet up in here. I sense there's some drinkers in here. They get nervous in the service. Listen, I'm just trying to help you. I'm talking about the culture of the world. Because they don't tell you the other side of it. They tell you, let's have a good time. I know ladies we've had to deal with who woke up raped because of liquor. And we got to counsel them and deal with the trauma and all of that. And you talking about, let's just have a good time? I always have a good time. Without cognac and without Hennessy. And whatever the new drink, what's the new drink? Anybody gonna say that? Anybody gonna say nothing? I don't know. I don't know, Rep. Simply Lemonade? I don't know. Y'all know. I don't drink, but you smoke weed. It got quiet in here. And it's not for medicinal purposes. It's because you're tired and you done been through with your glaucoma. She says for her glaucoma. I'm going over here, y'all. Listen, I'm just trying to help you. Whatever you're chasing with this high, Jesus can feel that. I'm telling you. Because the way this is set up is for you to keep chasing something you'll never catch. Now you got to keep going deeper and higher. And lying to yourself, saying, I'm good. And you got too much future for that. You got too much destiny for that. Your children are looking to you. And the babies don't even smell like baby lotion. They smell like weed. What happened to Johnson's and the baby oil?
CBD oil.
CBD oil or something. I don't know. Said we must continue.
We must continue.
Number four, I got to go. Number four. Am I on four?
Yes.
What happened? It's what happened. Grace-based sin. Now go to Galatians. I'm going to read you the whole book. Grace. If y'all hush, you hear what I'm saying, because you're talking more than me.
Come on.
Grace-based sin. Nothing pushes us to embrace an unbalanced grace message than a full plate of sin. Now we all graceites. And grace is a person, his name is Jesus, and the message is real, but it is not to be played with to make us comfortable doing things we shouldn't be doing. I'm teaching to everybody in the room, starting with me. That's why I call it grace-based. Because I talk to people and say, I can do that. We under grace. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So y'all formed hookers for Jesus because you under grace? No, it's a real thing.
Yes.
Do you know the damage prostitution does to women and men? And now you're just going to flip it because of grace. Come on, we do it for Jesus? Him and his mama alive. They both of them. Look at Galatians 5. Verse 1 in the Amplified. Are y'all here? I'm going to read this and I'm going to run in the back. It was for freedom that Christ... Chapter 5, verse 1, Amplified. It was for freedom that Christ set us free, completely liberating us. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery which you once removed. Christ has set us free. Stand firm. Do not go back to a yoke of slavery. Look at verse 7. You were running the race well. Look at verse 7. Put it on the screen so they can see it. You were running the race well. Who has interfered and prevented you from obeying the truth? What message have you now heard to say, you know what? What they're saying is, I think what he's saying is right. Rest the rest of his life as before he goes on to heaven. He has been a general in the body of Christ, Bishop Carlton Pearson. But the message that he introduced is off. I got one amen. It is not Bible. But because it helps us get comfortable in our crap, we accepted the message. He has been a general. We still sing his songs here. But the message he introduced is wrong. Now, you want to believe it? You go ahead on. You had better be right.
That's right.
Because when you leave this body, you got to go somewhere. Yes. And when you start embracing, ain't no hell. It's just clouds and moons in the atmosphere. There is a heaven and there is a hell. The Bible says the bowels of hell are enlarging every day. And Jesus said, I wish that none go. So where did we find out there is no hell? And the devil is just a figment of our imagination. It's the rough time we deal with on earth. You only buy that when you have not read scripture for yourself. Some of y'all need a good home Bible study. Turn off Netflix. They just went up again to $22 anyway. We're going to turn ours off. No, we're not going to flicks or net. We're going to turn that off. Turn off all that and have your good Bible study. Read your Bible.
That's right.
Study it. Look up the commentary. Know for yourself. When I preach, one of the rough things they do is to preach a funeral, and I've never, ever been to any funeral in my life, and the person didn't go to heaven. Everybody don't go to heaven. I've never been to one. Now, I'm not putting nobody in hell. I don't know their life. But I'm just saying, the scripture says. Now, they could have made a last minute confession to Christ. I don't know nothing about that. But I do know there is a hell and somebody's in it.
Yes, I know that.
And I know one thing, I ain't going. They sang a song, I ain't going to hell. Hell no, I'm not going to hell. For nobody. But the Bible also talks about in the last day, there'll be doctrines of demons. There'll be other Jesuses introduced. And the very elect will be deceived. So your neighbor said, read your Bible.
Read your Bible.
Oprah says, there's many ways to God. Oprah's a bitter billionaire. She's been upset with the church for a long time because her uncle, who was a deacon, violated her. She needs to be healed. My heart breaks, but she needs to be healed. She needs to know that all that, that her uncle deacon did that, that's not the gist of the church. But she has forever carried that on.
Yes.
And out of that came shows like Greenleaf and all those things to shame the church.
Yeah.
She funds that. Because
yeah.
She's bitter.
Yeah.
And we got more Oprahites than believers now.
That's right. That's right. Yes.
Oprah said. Oprah said. There's many ways to get to God. You don't even entertain that if you know scripture. Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father lest they come by me. So how do we entertain anything else? Because it's called carnal conformity. You listen to it long enough, it starts to sound good. You get around folks that believe it, it starts to sound good.
Yes.
You know what? Maybe you are right. Maybe there ain't no hell. Maybe Jesus was just a prophet. He ain't the only way. I will not be deceived.
Amen.
I will study the scripture. I will balance the scripture, but I will not be deceived. He is the same yesterday, today, and he's going to be the same tomorrow.
Yes.
Yes. We the one going back and forth. And that's why some of y'all need to come on Wednesday night and sit down in Bible study. Sit down in Bible study. Ask your questions. Get understanding so you can grow in your walk with the Lord. You don't want to stay a babe forever. How would you feel if your daughter never grew up? How would you feel if your son, who is now 23, came in with a bottle or a pacifier? You'd be like, now, wait a minute, Junior. You should be done grown by now. Wouldn't you do that? Something's not right about it.
That's
right. So, now, wait a minute, Junior. You're too old for this. I tell my son, son, you're too old for this now. You 16, you 8, you too old for this. Because we expect certain things with age. Where was I reading from? You are running the race well. Who has interfered and prevented you from obeying the truth? This deceptive persuasion is not from him who called you to freedom in Christ. A little leaven, a slight inclination to error, or a few false teachers leavens the whole batch. It perverts the concept of faith and misleads the church. I have confidence in you in the Lord that you will adopt no other view contrary to mine on the matter. Stay with it. Drop all the way down to verse number 16. I can't read it all. I got to go. But I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit. Seek him. Be responsive to his guidance. And then you will certainly not carry out the desire of the sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard for God and his precepts. You will feel it. But you'll have the power to not fulfill it. Don't you think because you saved you ain't gonna feel nothing.
Yeah.
As long as you're in this body, you're gonna feel it.
Yeah.
You're gonna desire certain things.
Yes.
You have appetites and desires that don't line up with scripture.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're the prayer leader. Sometimes you want to do some things that don't fall under the prayer leader guide. But we have authority to make the right decision. Sometimes we just choose not to. How many of y'all ever chose not to make the right decision? Nothing made us do it. We made a decision. Because the Bible also says that sin is pleasurable. It feels good. Yeah. Look. What verse was I at? 17. But the sinful nature has its desire, which is opposed to the spirit. And the desire of the spirit opposes the sinful nature. For these two, the sinful nature and the spirit, are in direct opposition to each other. They're continually in conflict. So that you, as believers, do not always do whatever good things you want to do. You want to do what's right. But there's another part of us that's always wanting to do wrong. It's in constant conflict. I want to pray. I want to sleep. I want to save myself. It want to get down. I want to stay sober. It want to drink. Come on here. I want to go in there and get a cold drink, take a cold shower, mind my business. It wants to masturbate. Verse 18, but if you are guided and led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the practice of the sinful nature are clearly evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, which means total irresponsibility, lack of self-control, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, those that promote heresies, envy, drunkenness, riotous behavior, and other things like this. So if I didn't call your thing, other things like this.
That's right.
Look at verse 24. And those who belong to Christ have crucified this sinful nature together with his passions and appetites. Look at verse 25. If we claim to live by the Holy Ghost, we must also walk by the Spirit with personal integrity, godly character, moral courage, our conduct empowered by the Spirit. You can't do it without the Holy Ghost. I tell you that. You can't do it without the Holy Ghost. You will fail every time. You'll say, I'm not doing this. I'm not saying that. I'm not going down there. And you'll look up and be praying on the way home. Because it's not that the Spirit didn't speak to you until you're on your way home. It spoke on the way there. You just didn't listen. Now your ride home is terrible. Anybody had a terrible ride home? After? I'm going to go to this side. Y'all looking. This ain't no bad message. This ain't no, you ought to stop sinning. Y'all going, this ain't that kind of message. It's let's just examine ourselves. Let's desire to please God in everything. And let's, I told you to make a list of things you don't like about yourself. Let's make those lists and let's work those lists off. And if you don't want to do it, then don't do it. Keep doing what you're doing. It's all right. It's on you. You made a decision. But you got to eat the fruit of every decision. All of us do. Lest Jesus tarry or he intervene. Because there's some things we didn't have to eat the fruit of. He just stepped in because he's a good God. How many of y'all have done some things and Jesus blocked it? He kept you. I know that's right. Because I survived the lie. No, some of us survived the truth. Everything wasn't no lie, no slander. You said it. You called the girl a B at work. That's what you did. You left the office and you tore up all the files and kicked over your desk. You did it. She said, I did it. Oh, wow, up in here. Okay, I got to go. So I'll finish some of this. Oh, it's 12:10. Who said that? That was one of them, see? That was one of them, you done went too long. I'm going to keep preaching now. So.
We're going to learn today.
Listen. There's a part of you, your spirit, that wants to do right. Yes. And there's another part that only wants to do wrong.
That's right.
They're always at conflict. London told me it's like that cartoon. It really is like a devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other. It's just like that. In that moment, you get to choose. She come past you, call you out your name and give you the finger. You got to make a decision now. Am I going with girls just going on? Or are you MF for you? And taking off your earrings, which one are you going to decide? Because you get to choose. And you don't get to say the devil made you do it. I got to stop. I got about 6 more, but I can't give them to you. Y'all come back next Sunday?
Yeah.
You can play some He Finished music. Hey, my man, you got your blessing from last week? Y'all bless my man real good. Huh? His wife here with the baby? Hey, pretty. Just wave at us. I don't know, she like, you put me on the... Why are y'all moving? Why y'all? Oh, that's the team. Okay. Thought they was mad with me or something. Did y'all hear what I said today? I don't want us to create something, some revival, some fire. No, I want it to be from within. As we all assess ourselves, get the word. We're like, you know what? If God ignite elder, and God ignite elder, and God ignite you, and God ignite you, it just catches on in the house. Because we all come in there hungry. We run in here fighting for seats. I got to get here on time. Like, I don't know what God's going to do, but I'm bringing the hunger. I'm not coming like I'm sitting waiting to see what's going to happen. When I go downtown to the theater, went to see Hamilton, we got there early, got some Twizzlers, sat down, wait for the show to start. This ain't no show. I got to sit and enjoy the show. You come to participate in here. You bring it with you. Are you listening to me? Okay. Lift your hands up. Father, we thank you for the word. And we commit to assess ourselves in every area that you've spoken today. And we say this, Lord, help us. Come on, say it. Lord, help us. Lord, help me. Because I want to be better. Just as simple as that.